Imagine yourself in space, orbiting the Earth in your space shuttle orbiter. As a shuttle commander, travelling upside down and tail first at over 17,000 miles or 28,000 kilometres per hour, you fire the engines of your orbiter for 2 minutes to end your 255th orbit of Earth and slow down for re-entry. Having established yourself at the designated initial re-entry speed, you maneuver your orbiter until it is flying right side up and forwards now, like a plane, as you commence your re-entry into Earth's atmosphere. As you commence a series of turns to further slow your shuttle during its descent, the temperature of the leading edges of your wings rises steadily towards 3,000 degrees Fahrenheit, or 1,700 degrees Celsius. Quite normal. The result of air molecules being forced together by the mass of your space shuttle ploughing into them at great speed. A warning tone sounds. You check your monitors for fault messages. Pressure in your left main gear tires has been lost, and the position of the landing gear is showing as indeterminate. A master warning is illuminated, indicating an issue with the flight control system. While never in this combination, and never together, you've seen many similar failures to these in the simulator during your training. 4 seconds pass as you assimilate your predicament. Suddenly, the pressure in all three hydraulic systems powering your flight controls falls to zero, and the shuttle nose starts to pitch up. Without hydraulic pressure, you're acutely aware that you have lost control of the flight path. Hello everybody, I'm Phil Wilkes. Welcome aboard the Like a Pilot podcast, where we unveil the soft skills pilots utilise every time they strap into those high-speed aluminium and carbon fibre giants we call airliners. This show is your ticket to understanding the how and why behind what makes aviation one of the safest modes of travel. So, it's time to fasten your seatbelts and join me now as we embark on a journey through the skies, where pilot skills become the blueprints for high performance in any field. Today, we ask the question, what is the point of knowledge? Like most pilots I know, my earliest recollections are of never having wanted to be anything else. Although, I may have had a nudge. I well remember Dad taking me to the local Air Force air shows when I was only 6, and arranging joy flights when we holidayed on the Gold Coast. Flying lessons followed when I turned 16 and was old enough to hold a student license. Revenge on Mum for making him give up his dangerous hobby after they met, perhaps? Fast forward 40 years and I have a few hours in the logbook and have fielded my fair share of barbecue questions. You know, the questions pilots always get asked at barbecues about their job. Almost certainly, the one I hear the most is, how long does it take to become a pilot? The definitive answer to that one is, how long is a piece of string? Tradesmen have apprenticeships. Professionals, doctors, lawyers, accountants. They all tend to have a pathway from which to derive a rough timeline, university course lengths, residency, specialist courses, certification, etc. Maybe surprisingly, there is no one path to becoming a pilot, and therefore no simple answer to this question. But there are prerequisites. Now, one thing about childhood dreams, they tend to gloss over the small print, and when it comes to flying, the small print is ground school. Before they even let you close to something with wings, there's the theory component, and lots of it. Fun fact, 120 years after the Wright brothers, aerodynamicists still don't agree 100% on how wings produce lift. But it's not just aerodynamics. There's flight planning, navigation, meteorology, human factors, air law, and aircraft systems. Enough aircraft systems that you feel you could actually build your own aircraft. And many pilots do. Boyhood dreams also tend to gloss over the minimum 80% mark required to pass most of the exams. That would be the exams that don't require a 100% pass mark. Ever sat through a class and asked yourself, if not your teacher, why do I need to know this? So what is the point of knowledge? In 1956, Benjamin Bloom collaborated with a group of researchers to publish the Taxonomy of Educational Objectives, better known as Bloom's Taxonomy to generations of trainee teachers and other educators. Bloom's Taxonomy provides a framework for categorizing educational goals into a continuum from simple to complex and concrete to abstract. While subcategories exist within the taxonomy, it's most popularly remembered according to its six main categories: knowledge, comprehension, application, analysis, synthesis, and evaluation. The categories that fall after knowledge are presented as an evolution of skills and abilities, with the knowledge base existing as a precondition for being able to put the higher skills and abilities into practice. The initial hierarchy outlined by Bloom and his collaborators has gone on to be used as the basis of numerous other hierarchies of skills acquisition. Hierarchies of skills are often visually represented as a pyramid with knowledge at the base. The pyramid structure illustrates how the skills interact and are dependent on each other as a student's skills evolve as they move up through the hierarchy into higher levels. The one constant in all these derivative hierarchies is that knowledge is retained as the foundational element. Everything else follows, but it is all based on a strong foundation of knowledge. With your space shuttle out of control, you're going to need to draw on the very top level of your skill set, your non-technical observable skills. Non-technical skills are the set of skills that do not include the technical skills required to physically operate your shuttle. They are the interpersonal skills, the soft skills that will determine what you do next, the sort of stuff we talk about in this podcast: leadership, teamwork, workload management, situational awareness, communication, and decision making. Why the observable tag? This simply identifies that their implementation can be observed and therefore assessed, but most importantly of all, focused on and trained. To have freed up the mental space to acquire and utilize these higher level skills, you must have first mastered the ability to fly a space shuttle accurately, instinctively, habitually. This level of manipulative skill comes from concentrated application of technique as a habit, from experience. Stepping back again, well before reaching the level of manipulative skills required of a shuttle commander, you must have first understand how you are supposed to fly a shuttle, memorizing all the techniques and underlying procedures required. But how could you have ever implemented any of the procedures, flows, and checklists without a knowledge of aircraft systems? And how would you have ever learned to fly without a knowledge of aerodynamics? As a shuttle commander, your foundational knowledge has led to a better understanding of your procedures and technique. A better technique has led to better manipulative skills, and the ability to fly subconsciously has allowed you greater capacity to apply those high-level soft skills we met earlier. The higher your level of skill at each level in the hierarchy, the better a pilot you've become. But at the base of any hierarchies of skills is the foundational knowledge you have acquired and your ability to access it when you need it. And right now, fighting for your life, knowledge will color what you do next. Following your emergency checklists, you initiate a restart of two auxiliary power units to try and restore hydraulic pressure to the flight controls. Your shuttle continues to fly out of control, pitching, rolling, yawing, all at the same time. What you do next demonstrates the most extraordinary level of systems knowledge. Deviating from the checklist, you switch on two of three hydraulic circulation pumps. So, why do that? Your underlying knowledge tells you that switching on the circulation pumps will provide some residual pressure. Not even enough to deploy the landing gear, but pressure nonetheless, giving you a slim chance of doing more than nothing. What you can't know is the damage to the hydraulic system is beyond recovery. 16 days earlier, during launch, the leading edge of your left wing was critically damaged. During re-entry, hot gases poured into the wing, causing systems to fail as your ship slowly began to disintegrate. Tragically, agonizingly, this is not a hypothetical. This is the exact sequence of events facing Shuttle Commander Rick Husband and Pilot William McCool on February the 1st, 2003. Right up until the crew module itself depressurized and disintegrated around them, the crew of the Space Shuttle Columbia demonstrated the highest levels of situational awareness and decision-making as they drew on their most foundational knowledge seeking solutions. So what's the point of knowledge? A strong foundational knowledge of the Space Shuttle gave the crew options beyond the mere following of checklists and procedures. Had the damage been less severe, or in different circumstances, maybe they could have saved their shuttle, themselves, and their crew. A solid foundational knowledge can't help but make you better at whatever your profession or hobby or passion may be. There's a reason student teachers learn about Bloom's taxonomy. An underlying knowledge of how we learn is fundamental to being a great teacher. There's a reason legal students study case law. An underlying knowledge of precedent gives them the foundation for applying this knowledge to develop their own arguments in new cases. There's a reason that doctors have continuing education requirements, why accountants keep up with the latest developments in tax codes, why software engineers upgrade to new and better coding languages. There's a reason race car drivers study the mechanics of the cars they race. It helps them give feedback to their engineers on what the car's doing and what changes in setup can be made. Great chefs understand the effect of heat on proteins. Now, you may never command a space shuttle, but take a minute to think of all the situations in your life that may benefit from a strong foundational knowledge. Knowledge is important. Knowledge gives us options. Knowledge enables us to be better at what we do. Until next time, thank you for listening to the Like a Pilot podcast. For more information, check out the show notes at philwilks.com/podcast. The Like a Pilot podcast is written and produced by me, Phil Wilkes. If you'd like to support the Like a Pilot podcast, our Patreon page is available at patreon.com/likeapilot. And if you've liked the show, please remember to rate, share, and review.